the estuaries. That's where you get the mixing of the fresh water from the rivers and the streams with the salt water of the sea. I personally don't like wrecks, they give me the spooks. You know, I love the natural environment underwater, and to find a man-made object underwater, just it feels foreign. And I don't know, maybe from watching Jaws as a child and the head popping out from underneath, there's always that element of spookiness about them for me. But off our coast we've got huge numbers of wrecks. Some of them are heavily protected, the designated historic wrecks. You can't dive on those without a license, but there's plenty of wrecks, from everything from small sailing boats to coasters with coal on board.
In Solcombe, they had a lifeboat called the William and Emma. And for her time, 1916, she was a very modern lifeboat. She had drop keels and water ballast tanks. Well, on this particular October morning, they had a shout, a call out in the early hours of the morning that a schooner from Plymouth, the Western Lass, had gone onto the rocks at Lanacombe Cove. The coxswain at that time was called Samuel Diston. He actually gathered his crew and they launched the William and Emma. It may sound a little bit, you know, cheesy, but there was real gale force winds blowing. And the winds were blowing straight in over the Solcombe Bar, which is a treacherous bit of water. A lot of people questioned his sanity, to be quite honest, in going out that day. But they did. They launched the William and Emma, and they went out, and in what was a titanic struggle, they rowed that lifeboat out over the bar. It was a case of going 6 foot forward, 3 foot back. But gradually they made haste and they got out over the Solcombe Bar. Then they hoisted sail and set a course for Start. And when they got to Start, they saw the wreck. They hailed the wreck. There was no reply. And as they closed on the wreck through the spray and the rain that was falling at the time, they could see lines, the lines stretching down from the cliff above onto the ship. What had happened was the Prawl Point rocket apparatus team, as they know, had gone overland, got there first, fired their Manby rocket lines down onto the wreck, and taken off everybody on board. But anyhow, the rocket apparatus had been fired, they'd got everybody off the ship. So wet, cold, hungry, I suppose, absolutely exhausted, the crew of the Solcombe lifeboat had one option, and that was to turn around and go home. Now the problem with this whole rescue is that from the time about 6 o'clock in the morning till probably 8 o'clock or so when they reach the wreck, a message had been received at Solcombe just after they launched to say that the rocket team was going and the lifeboat did not have to go. For some reason, that message was never ever passed to the lifeboat crew. I mean, okay, they didn't have ship-to-shore radio, they didn't have mobile phones, nothing like that, but they did pass signal stations and lookout stations. Somebody could have sent a message. They use semaphore arms and flags, things like that. They could have got a message, but it was never passed to the lifeboat. So approximately 10 o'clock in the morning, the lifeboat come back around the point and she had to head back in to Solcombe. They reckoned there were hundreds of people watching the boat approach. And they watched in absolute horror. The waves were still crashing over the Solcombe Bar. Samuel Diston did everything he had to do. Lowered his sail, just kept up a little staysail on the back of the boat to give him a little bit of steerage. And then going by operational training, they deployed a large canvas sheet out the back to act as a drogue, a sea anchor, to slow them down a bit as they approached. They made their approach, timed it to the minute, to the Salcombe Bar. But as they went over the Salcombe Bar, they were hit by a freak wave, and the freak wave hit the stern of the boat, pitched her up onto her bow, and turned her, fatally, sideways on to the next wave. That wave capsized her. The men were thrown into the sea, wearing their little cork jackets. Now, on an ebbing tide, people knew that most of those men, if they were to be washed ashore, would be at a place called Lembury Point. And they went there with every conceivable thing they could take that would float to act as a life jacket for those, a life preserver for the men. Well, when they got there, they found the upturned lifeboat. And on the lifeboat upturned was Edwin Diston, no, I understand, not a close relative to Samuel Diston, and a chap called William Johnson. They threw out a light throwing line, that's a light line with a weight at the end, that is in turn attached to a heavier line. They pulled that out, and by the heavier line they were pulled back to shore. They spent many, many days in hospital with cuts, bruises, hypothermia, exposure. That's the worst day in the life of a South Devon lifeboat, because on that day, 13 of the 15 crew of the Salcombe lifeboat lost their lives. They were drowned. The men themselves are actually commemorated on a plaque on the side of the Salcombe War Memorial, up opposite the Salcombe Yacht Club. Their names are inscribed there as the lifeboat crew. And within months, they had the Sarah Jane Holden, which was from John's Haven in Scotland. That boat had been moved down into Salcombe. Edwin Diston, that survived the actual disaster, was actually made coxswain of the new lifeboat. And within a matter of weeks, they had another fully trained crew of local men, brave men in my opinion, who were ready to go out and risk their lives for the benefit of others. Then over the years, there has been a terrific development in the design. The original boats were just pulling boats. Then they had drop keel. They had water ballast. They had sail. As far as Devon is concerned, a great time was 1922. Because in 1922, Brixham Lifeboat Station, as it was, now Torbay, and Appledore in North Devon, both received motorised lifeboats. So that's the first time they came in. And then, of course, there's been the development of that. They've used diesel engine. They've used initially petrol engine, diesel engine. And it's still going on being modified all the time. The latest class of lifeboat, 16, the number on the side, 16, as you might see for North Devon Appledore, denotes that the vessel is 16 metres in length, and it's a 16th number, one of the class. That particular class of boat is currently being built down at Plymouth. And the RNLI, for many, many years, have named not the individual boat, but the class of boat after rivers. The Arun, the Tyne, the Mersey, the Trent, things like that. And the new modern fleet, and of course there's still another one in development, is actually the Tamar class lifeboat. In fact, in the past they've had to launch them down slipways, you know, launch them off carriageways, the carriages and things like that. And there is now a new fast slipway boat being developed. There's always a development going on within the lifeboats. Thank you.